Please turn with me to your Bible, if you will, to the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 2. And we will read that well-known Christmas passage or post-Christmas passage about the wise men. So Matthew, chapter 2, beginning at verse 1 up to and including verse 15. Hear then God's holy and inspired word. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Now, when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt I called my son. So far, the reading of God's holy and inspired word. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, are you prepared to worship Christ with your gifts? Perhaps you ask at this point, well, what sort of gifts could I possibly present to Christ? Well, we have this Bible passage in front of us, and we have read something of the wise men. And the wise men brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And they did that in order to worship the Christ child. You and I may do something very similar. In fact, I dare say that we must do something very similar. And I hope to explain that to you in more detail. But I first want to read with you the text. And so please turn with me again to Matthew chapter 1, or chapter 2 rather. I want to read verses 1 and 2 and verse 11. And then I want to stress a few words that are to be found in this passage. And that will then also show us the direction we want to go. And so Let's turn to Matthew 2 and the verses 1 and 2 and verse 11. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men, all right, here's the first stress, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who had been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. And then verse 11. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And so I trust that you have already gathered what we're going to speak about and hear about this morning by way of the message. And I want to consider the words that I've just stressed under the following theme and division. Be wise. Worship Christ with your gifts. In the first place, we want to consider how the wise men did it. And then secondly, why the wise men did it. And then thirdly, how you and I, being wise, may do it. And so, let's consider then this particular passage. Now, the story of the wise men is a very familiar story. No doubt you have heard it around the Christmas season. And you might think it rather strange that you hear about it again. But we're still in the after thrills of Christmas. And so, and these wise men, they didn't come at the same time that Christ was born, but sometime later, even some months later. And so I did not think it would be improper to deliver a message on the wise men this time as well. And so, but what do we actually know about these wise men is very little, according to what the scriptures tell us. You know, we listen to what the world has made of it. Also, the Christian world has made of this story of the wise men. It has embellished this story. It has made it much larger, much more flowery, and so on, in order to attract us, I suppose, to these wise men and what they have done. But to be honest with you, there are things there that are not really biblical. When you think, for instance, of the one Christmas carol, "We Three Kings of the Orient Are," who says there were three of them? Who says they were kings? Who says that they were from the Orient? You see, it is Christmas cards and Christmas carols that have sort of indoctrinated us in that sort of a picture. But it is not really a biblical picture at all, you see. It has been legend and tradition that has sort of taken over and has given us that sort of picture of the wise men. And this morning, I want to make clear to you that there's something far more important than what the Christmas cards and what the Christmas carols have told us. And so let us consider then that we must speak of the wise men from the east. Wise men from the east. And in the original Greek, it's actually magoi from Anatolia. Now I'll explain what these two words mean. As I said already, that they were three men is only conjecture. There could have been more or less than three of them. And also, they were from Anatolia, so we are told. And now, the Christmas carol says the Orient. But when we look at that word carefully, Anatolia is basically there where the sun rises. And anything beyond the borders of Israel is Anatolia. And so, what is important here is that Gentiles came to the land of Israel to worship Christ. And when we think of it, it is Matthew and Matthew alone, and then Matthew particularly, who has stressed the fact that these were Gentiles who had come to worship the Christ child. And that is important for us to remember, because you too you and I, we too are called to worship the Christ. And we are not of Israel. At least I don't think anyone is Jewish here. If you are, praise God for it. But at the same time, by and large, we are Gentiles. And therefore, as Gentiles, we too are called to worship the Christ. Now, then we are told that they were wise men. And again, in the Christmas carols, they have made all kinds of thoughts, given us all kinds of thoughts, what kind of men they were. Were they scientists? Were they astrologers or astronomers? Or perhaps even like Simon the Sorcerer, were they that kind of people? Well, it doesn't say anything. They were magoi. They were wise men. And that is what the Holy Spirit wants to stress here as well. They were wise men. It's not for nothing that the Holy Spirit tells us that rather than anything else. And when the Bible tells us that they were wise men, it means that they were wise in a spiritual sense. They were wise in the sense of the book of Proverbs, for instance, where we are told a wise man will hear, a wise man will fear the Lord, a wise man shall inherit glory. And so it is in that sense that we must understand these men. They were wise according to the powers of the Holy Spirit working in them. And so this is what we need to understand. They were spiritually wise men. And dear people, you and I, we also need to be spiritually wise men and women, boys and girls. Spiritually wise. Now, the next thing that we have to consider is that when they gave their gifts, this was also spiritually motivated. It was spiritually motivated. It was God who worked in them. By His Word and by His Holy Spirit. Because what we have in front of us here are spiritual matters. And that is what I want to stress, particularly this morning. Now, they were given a sign from God. And that sign was to be seen in the heavens. And that, boys and girls, you know the sign. It was a star. God showed them a sign by way of a star. And they were able to see it with their eyes. And that's an obvious thing, but at the same time, we need to recognize that God shows us His works, and we can see them. Many of you, driving particularly towards the east, saw this rainbow. And it was a beautiful sight. But it reminded me, and I trust it also reminded you, of God's covenant faithfulness. Now, I must also say that it told me that there must be some sort of a winter storm going on in the area where we live. But hopefully, the Lord will protect us or protect me as I drive home again. But nevertheless, it does tell us something of God's faithfulness. And that star is also a sign of God's faithfulness. We can see it. We can see it in our daily lives that God remains faithful to us in many areas of life. And we are to thank God for it. And we are to follow up on that as well. And that's what these wise men did. They followed up on what they had seen and no doubt also what they had studied. Because these were wise men. And in order for them to be wise by the Spirit, they no doubt have also read at least parts of Scripture. And I would dare say, especially the Isaiah scroll. And they read from the Isaiah scroll wonderful things that gave them the incentive then not only to see the faithfulness of God, but to understand the faithfulness of God. And it is because of what they had seen and because of what they had read, they realized that there is a time to worship the Christ child. They came to that conclusion. It was time to worship the Christ child. Now, then the question for us is, and that is really, so far it's been introduction, but now we're getting into the main part. How did these wise men worship the Christ child? Well, it's very obvious. They knelt before Him, and they brought Him gifts. And that is what we are told. They worship the Christ child with gifts. Now, this story of the wise men, as you have heard it so far, it goes far beyond it being somewhat Christmassy. There is something very spiritual about all of this. And one of the first things that we have to understand is this, that when they came to see the Christ child, perhaps in the manger or perhaps on the lap of Mary, his mother, when they saw the Christ child, it motivated them to worship him, to worship him. And what is it to worship Christ? It is to stand in awe, or perhaps to go on your knees and look in awe to who Christ is, to meditate on it, and to consider the greatness of this Son of God, that he came from the glories of heaven down to this earth in order to be with man and to identify with man. And so that is one way to worship the Christ. And that is also how you and I are to worship the Christ. And so they saw and they worshiped and they presented gifts. Now, here is really where you and I need to pay attention, because this is where I'm going to stress the importance of the message from this passage. Because you and I, we will need to pay close attention to these gifts that these wise men presented to the Christ child. And, well, they were gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, so we are told. And I can tell you already that these were not cheap gifts whatsoever. They were not insignificant gifts. They were gifts that tells a story, a spiritual story, as you will hear. So this takes me already to my second point. Why did these wise men worship Christ? Why did they do it? Well, dear people, there is, as I said already, there is significance to the reason for presenting Christ with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They were quite unusual gifts, to say the least. They could have brought with them bags of silver shekels or costly garments or precious jewels. They could even have brought with them animals for the sacrifices, for the temple worship services. But they brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. In other words, they brought something that speaks volumes, as we hope to hear that as well. In other words, let me say it this way, there is symbolism in these three types of gifts: gold, frankincense, and silver. And so let's explain that in a little bit more detail, and let's start with gold then. Gold. Gold was indeed a very appropriate gift for the Christ child. And gold speaks of kingship. Gold is the metal of royalty. Kings' crowns, queens' crowns were made of gold, especially at that time. So gold spelled royalty. King's crowns, therefore, showed that when one would wear such a crown, that would be the king. Therefore, when these wise men presented gold to the Christ child, it symbolized that they saw in him with spiritual eyes, and I stress that, they saw in him with spiritual eyes that he was a king. That he was a king. And they acknowledged him. They worshipped him then also as a king. I suppose, therefore, that a well-known preacher like John MacArthur declared, and I agree with him, that these men could be considered kingmakers. This is also, of course, why it was such a great shock to Herod, the king of Judah, when he heard this, the question, where is he that was born king of the Jews? It caused King Herod to tremble violently, and he was afraid that his throne would be threatened. And so we also know the story that flows after that as well, that when these wise men would return to King Herod to show where this king was born, Herod had his plans ready. And of course, we know the sad story of the killing of so many babies, baby boys, particularly 2 years and younger. And this was all because King Herod also understood that here is a real threat. There's a king born, and he must be destroyed. And this is why there was the killing of these baby boys. But at the same time, these wise men, they worshipped Christ by presenting him with gold, and by doing so, they acknowledged him as king. They pointed to his kingship, therefore, with gifts of gold. And then, not only gold, but we are also told that the other gift was frankincense. Or you could also translate it from the original simply as incense. Now, you and I no doubt know that incense is used or was used in temple worship in the land of Israel in Bible times. And again, incense, a rather unusual gift, a very expensive gift, but a rather unusual gift. Incense was used only for worshiping, or in the temple was only used for worshiping God in thanksgiving and in praise. Incense was part of the offerings that were given to God, brought by the high priest at particular times in order to express their worship of God, their thanksgiving to God. As one Bible commentator makes this point, and again, I agree with him, and let me just read what he says. In presenting this gift of incense, the wise men pointed to Christ as our great high priest, the one whose whole life was acceptable and well-pleasing to God. Now, we know from Old Testament times that the high priest alone was allowed to offer incense to God in praise to God. And it was not to be mixed with any sort of sin offering whatsoever, incense and incense alone. And it was a very fragrant kind of sacrifice that would bring about or give an aroma in all of the temple courts, and it was to be of great pleasure and favor to God. It was, therefore, in thanksgiving to God. Now, how fitting this was that these wise men understood by the work of the Holy Spirit that they were to give the Christ child incense. They could have presented him with other offerings that also deals with, or they could have presented the Christ child with other presents in order to facilitate the offerings that were to be given. They could have brought spices or grain offerings. They could even brought some animals, but no, it was incense and incense alone. And so it was particularly this gift that said much of the Lord Jesus Christ. As gold says something about him being the king, incense says something about him being the high priest, the sinless one, the one who brought thanksgiving offerings for the people and on behalf of the people to God. And so this is then the sweet-smelling aroma of incense that was provided already by these wise men. And then not only gold, not only incense, but we are also told that they gave the gift of myrrh as well. Now, why would these wise men have chosen myrrh as one of the gifts to Christ? As you know, myrrh was used for embalming dead bodies. Now imagine visiting a set of parents at that time, a set of new parents with a newborn, and coming and bringing along with you a container of myrrh, of embalming myrrh. It would be like me going on a baby visit with my wife and taking along with me a little coffin. The parents would be, no doubt, very upset. Why would you bring a coffin? Are you telling us, Pastor, that our little boy, our little girl will soon die and we will have to embalm him and put him in a coffin? You can understand that there would be something morbid about this, and certainly I wouldn't dare do anything like that. But these wise men, they were given the incentive, they were given the understanding that they must also bring myrrh with them. And so, in case of these wise men, it was the gift of myrrh as well. And it was not offensive, it was not cruel, it was not morbid at all. Because it too said something about who Christ is. As gold speaks of kingship, and as incense speaks of him being the perfect high priest, we are told that myrrh is the symbol of what he has done in order to put away sin. He died. The gift of myrrh, therefore, spells death, you see. It symbolizes death, particularly the sin-redeeming death of Jesus Christ. Now, these wise men may very well have read, as I said already, the scroll of Isaiah. And being wise, they understood, for instance, what it says in Isaiah chapter 53, that Christ was born in order to slay death, the sin of death. In order to slay the sin of death. And think, for instance, of how this is declared for us in Isaiah chapter 53. When it speaks there of Christ, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression, he was bruised for our iniquities, and with his chastisements we are healed, or you could say, we are made alive. Christ was to suffer and he was to die for sin, dear people. And it was the myrrh, therefore, that symbolized the reason for Christ coming into this world. Now, having said all that, we could ask, did these wise men know all of that to perfection? Did they know all of that in great detail? Did they present Christ with the gift of gold because they just knew that here was a king and this was the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and that he was the master of all? Did they present Christ with the gift of incense because they just knew that he was the perfect and sinless high priest who gave the perfect sacrifice of thanksgiving to God? Did they present Christ with the gift of myrrh because they just knew that he would be dying the death in the place of sinners like they were? Well, it is not likely that they knew it all in great detail, that they knew all the aspects of Christ's work in great detail. It is not likely. However, we must keep in mind that they are called wise men. They have studied parts of Scripture. And so no doubt they knew more than what you and I might think of them as being Gentiles from the East. And so they did present gold, frankincense, and myrrh to the Christ child for a special purpose. The Holy Spirit, after all, is the Spirit of truth, isn't he? And he can lead us into tremendous and awesome truths, even though we may realize that we are sinners. The Holy Spirit can lead us into awesome truths. Perhaps as these wise men, and let me just back up for a moment, perhaps as these wise men were planning their gift, they may have discussed with each other, now, what is it that we should bring along as we've seen this star, and what could we bring along? Should we bring bags of silver shekels and costly robes and some jewels and maybe some animals for offering? But at a certain point, they came to realize, no, we cannot do that. And what was it? Well, it was the Holy Spirit that redirected their thoughts. It was the Holy Spirit that gave them to understand that it was not those kind of gifts, but these kind of gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And so the Holy Spirit, you see, directed their thoughts. That's what the Holy Spirit does with us too, you see. When we know Him and His work and trust in His Word, the Holy Spirit begins to direct our thoughts. And so the Holy Spirit also moved the thoughts of these wise men in that direction. And without any sort of explanation, He convinced them that it was necessary to bring with them gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And that's, as I said already, that's how the Holy Spirit works. Also today, He redirects man's thoughts in a way that pleases God. And He moves man's thoughts in such a way to suit God's purposes in life. And this is why these wise men ended up bringing gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The Holy Spirit, after all, knows the spiritual meaning of gold, frankincense, and myrrh more so than you and I, more so than what I have tried to explain already. These wise men were convinced, therefore, as they went on their way across the borders into Israel, that these were the right kind of gifts. The Holy Spirit convinced them over that. Now, this is also why we're told, for instance, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10, about our thoughts, our plans, and our actions, that God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Well then, that says something about why these wise men worship the Christ child. And let me now go into the third, and I would want to say the most important part for you and for me. And that is how you and I, being wise, should do this. Well, we too need the work of the Holy Spirit, don't we? We do need the Holy Spirit in order that we may worship the Christ in the right and proper way. We need to be wise men and women, boys and girls. And that wisdom comes to us through the Word that we may read faithfully and through prayer that God would give us that wisdom. We need that wisdom. Without it, we will remain foolish. And so we need the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. And so, well, let's then consider that being wise, we too are called to worship Christ. And we are to worship Christ, stand in awe for Him, look to Him, but we are also to come with our gifts. Let's look at those gifts again. And now I'm going to reverse the order. And let's look at how we may bring to Christ our gift of myrrh. Our gift of myrrh. Well, we know that Christ needed to die the death of the sinner. And He did so on the cross. And so, you and I, we are to give Christ our gift of myrrh, that is, our understanding, our worship, our thankfulness for what He has done, dying in our place. You and I, we need to confess that yes, we deserve death. We deserve death. And that Christ has come in our place and has died in our place. Or to say it in this way, that when we present our myrrh to Christ, we say as it were, Lord Jesus Christ, I know that I am a sinner and I deserve spiritual death. But You took my sin and You died in my place, Lord Jesus Christ. I repent of my sin. I believe on You. And Lord, I leave my case with You. That's offering our gift of myrrh to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the question can be asked, have you already begun to worship Christ with your gift of myrrh? Have you learned to confess that you deserve death because of your fall into sin? And that, have you repented of your sin? Have you brought your sinful case to the Lord Jesus Christ already? Have you rested your case with Christ, dear people, knowing that His death was the death blow to your and my sin? If so, then you, being a wise person, have done a wise thing, and you have come to worship Christ with your gift of myrrh. The other gift that you may bring to Christ is your gift of incense. And as you've heard already, these wise men gave this gift of incense because they were given to understand that this Christ is the great high priest and that his offering was an offering of thanks to God. And so his life and his death was considered, therefore, to be a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, as it says in the Bible, well-pleasing to God. Now, you and I, we may also bring our gift of incense to Christ in worship. And how may we do that? Well, we do that in this way. And let me just put that in words that I trust will be easy to understand. Lord Jesus Christ, dwell in me and let your perfect sacrifice, let your perfect sinless sacrifice gain stature in my life. Let my life from here on in be a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. When we give our incense, our gift of incense to Christ, we are, as it were, giving our life of thankfulness to God. We are giving the fruit of thanksgiving to God. That's giving, that's the meaning behind giving our incense. And so the question can be asked again, have you already gone to God, gone to Christ with your gift of incense? Have you confessed your desire that your life would be like a fragrant incense to God, that it would be a sweet-smelling aroma of Christ's likeness and of law-abiding Christianity? That is really what is behind it all, isn't it? Have you presented your gift of incense already, as Paul could confess it once in these well-known words, as you can read of in Galatians 2 and verse 20, I live, yet not I, but it is Christ who lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, to the praise of God. That should also be your and my confession as well. And if so, again, you are a wise person and the Holy Spirit has given you the ability to give your gift of incense. Well, now, the third gift that you may present to Christ as you worship him is your gift of gold, your gift of gold. And as you have heard already, gold symbolizes royalty. And by presenting it to Christ, you acknowledge and you confess the kingship of Christ. And therefore, give him your gold. Give him your gold. That is, give your life up to the rule of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then confess at the same time, I am your servant. You are my master. I am your servant. You are my king. Lead me, guide me, control me, rule me, and let me do and teach me to do what you want me to do. In this sense, dear people, our Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer one, is pure gold. You know the words, that I with body and soul, both in life and death, am not my own, but belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. That's pure gold, dear people, pure gold. Well, have you come to worship Christ already with your gold? Have you confessed him already to be your king, your Lord, and your master with your gift of gold? Have you confessed that he rules your life and that you wish to be content under his rule? Have you learned already, without any complaint, to follow his direction? If so, then you too are a wise person. The Holy Spirit has made you wise with your gift of gold. Now, dear people, the question again needs to be asked in closing. Have you already become wise like these wise men from the East? They were Gentiles, so are you. and I. They spared no troubles in order to find where Christ could be found. They feared no dangers at all in their search for the Lord Jesus Christ. And they presented him with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Don't hesitate. Don't hesitate to look for Christ if you haven't found him yet. And don't hesitate to take with you myrrh, incense, and gold, your confession of who Christ is. And so, will you let yourself become wise by the work of the Word and the Holy Spirit? And will you allow the Lord Jesus Christ to be your King and your Master? Whatever dangers you may have to face, it is well worth it. Do it. You cannot possibly go wrong in worshiping Christ. And then worship him by presenting to him your gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Therefore, be wise. Worship Christ with your gifts. Amen. O Lord, our God, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for the working of your Holy Spirit, who made these men wise, who can also make us wise. And we pray, therefore, that we too may worship Christ in a wise way, even as we have been directed this morning. That we too, by our confession and by our life, give him our myrrh, our incense, and our gold. Lord God, we thank you for the opportunity to worship you this morning, and may it be to your honor and glory. And again, we do pray that you be with us also as we worship you again later on this day. Keep us safe on the roads and bring us back here safely. And we ask all this in Jesus' name alone with thanksgiving. Amen.